This is Barry1066, and...
Hey, this is Throbblefoot, and you're listening to the Neverwinter Nights podcast.
Someone give me a tankard! This is going to get good!
It's the Neverwinter Nights podcast.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast.
The only podcast for the Neverwinter Nights game series, bringing you news, interviews, reviews, and more for the community by the community. You can find us online at NeverwinterNightsPodcast.com. And now, on to the show.
Hello, this is Trey, a.k.a. Eshercon Zelo.
And I'm Skunkeen, a.k.a. Skunkaroo.
And this is episode 61 of the Neverwinter Nights Podcast.
The only Neverwinter Nights Podcast.
Yes, the only. Welcome, Skunk. How's it going?
It's going great. How are you?
Pretty good. Hey, that was a pretty awesome episode we had last week. The AME Award Show, huh?
Oh, yeah. That was a great show. Those fellas did a good job. And their voices, you could tell that they're not only talented in Neverwinter Nights, they're also talented vocally, too, as well.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how come they could have any problems finding clothes.
And if we could get Ben to quit chewing on his mic. No, we got lots of good feedback on that show as well, so it was a good time. So what you been up to? You been playing any, you been DMing any worlds?
Yeah. I've got a couple more DMFI classes coming up, and I just volunteered to help contribute to the Neverwinter Nights convention, online convention.
We'll talk about that a little bit more later in the news. We'll have an update on that. And I had a question about that for you, too.
There's still a lot of... Actually, what I've been up to is checking out the AME forums. A lot of the feedback and praises still continue over at the Academy of Modeling Excellence's forums. So if anybody wishes to congrat the nominees and the winners on the AME Golden Dragon Awards, just go check out their forums. And say hello to them. They love hearing all the praises there on their own forum.
Oh yeah, they do. I think they talked about that a little bit in the award show as well, about how they like people to stop by and
to be proud of themselves. That was an awesome show, and the awards was just great.
Hey, I started playing The Mask of the Betrayer again.
Oh yeah?
Finally got back into it. I confess.
I'm playing it.
Well, yeah. If you remember I think it was the last time I was hosting. I talked about how I started playing again, and I got all dead because my spirit bar ran out.
Yeah, I heard that spirit bar is real tricky. I haven't gotten into the Mask of Betrayer. I keep on getting into everybody's modules that we end up talking about on the show here.
Yeah, yep.
I did finally complete Pool of Radiance Remastered by Marcus Wayne Schiegel. He won the AME Most Replayable Module Award. I've yet to complete the Neverwinter Nights 2 original campaign, but that Spirit Bar sounds like it's going to be a tough challenge.
Well, yeah, I have to confess, I went ahead and used the command to reset it so that I could continue playing. I hang my head in shame.
So you just enter a console command code to end up doing that or something?
Yeah, Michelle gave it to me.
Oh, you cheater.
Yeah, I'm a cheater. I didn't know what else to do. I mean, it was either that or go back to a save point way back in the game. And I didn't want to do that.
Any which way
takes me long enough to play it without cheating.
Yeah. Like I was gonna say, just any way which way but to lose.
Hey, speaking of playing some of the modules that we talk about on the show, I think you had the idea, or someone did, and I think it would be a good idea. Like I saw it Reddit in our forums. We need to get everybody together and play that. One that won multiplayer.
Mm-hmm.
Tombs of Horror, yes.
Yeah, I want to get Liso in on that.
Yeah, that would be fun. So count me in on that if we decide to do that some weekend or something.
Yeah. Yeah, it was Striker B that suggested we start getting game days going with the Neverwinter Nights podcast crew.
Yeah. We actually used to have some game days that we would try to do and just have gotten away with it. Everybody's so busy. Okay, so on to the news. I thought maybe we'd start out with and give an update on the NWCon 4 that's being put together over on Neverwinter Connections.
Oh, yes.
And I think they posted a current status a couple of days ago, actually.
Yeah, we're still getting quite a lot more people coming forward with a couple of sessions to contribute to the...
Oh, it's even changed since I looked at it last night.
Yeah, a lot of more people adding to it. We need more people to add to possible prizes or to showcase your Neverwinter Nights 1 and 2 talents during the Neverwinter Nights convention, online convention. This isn't only a chance to get to game with some of the greatest dungeon masters and players of the community, but it is also a chance to showcase your vault submissions, like be it your module, scripts, or custom content you created. So just go ahead and respond to the Neverwinter Connections forums for NWCon as a, you know, and they got the event sessions come up on the September 26th to the 28th is when the online convention will be, and you can learn more details. It'd be great to get a lot of the community custom content builders just to set up something and use the scheduling system for Neverwinter Connections and just be there on hand just to showcase and discuss the kind of stuff that they do. And not only that, we need more Neverwinter Nights 2 people to be involved.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to ask you last night when I was looking at this, I didn't see your name anywhere, but now I see your name in here.
Yeah,
I guess under Public Relations and Advertising, so that's cool. Yeah. I was actually going to ask you, how come I don't see you listed under DMs?
Yeah, I'm hopefully going to try to get some of you folks out there that haven't been using Neverwinter Connections as much before. I'm, as you know, I get to guest DM at a lot of other PWs. I'm pretty quite a trusted DM in the community. So if you guys would like to have me guest DM at your Persistent World to become involved with the Neverwinter Connections NWCCon, let me know.
Okay.
I'd like to help anybody to get involved in the community.
That's good. I think they also posted a list of chat events that they're trying to put together as well. I went ahead and replied out there that we would love to do a live roundtable, you know, like we've done before, either on any of the subjects that they've listed out there already, or or I was going to ask you guys to come up with an idea that we could do one.
Well, then you're going to be seeing a lot of different locations because there's a lot of in-game events and sessions, and the roundtable ain't going to be just likely possibly just only on Skype, but there's going to be an IRC roundtable with a lot of guest speakers. Like, for an example, Tsunami from the DMFI, he's a developer for the Neverwinter Nights 1 DM Tools updates, and he's going to be on hand to speak with a lot of people, and a lot of questions people are going to be asking him for, like, you know, DMing updates. Now, that, like, another thing, CEP is going to be there, and they're going to showcase off a lot of their upcoming stuff for their CEP updates, 2.1.
Cool.
You're going to have to go to a lot of different places to end up catching a lot of different chat events.
Right. And I guess what I meant by a Skype roundtable is, I know they're doing the IRC roundtables, but I thought as our offering for the convention, the podcast could do a live roundtable that we record on some subject. I don't know what it would be yet. And so that's what I suggested. Looks like Carvon replied to me out there, and he goes, I'm not familiar with Skypecast, but I'm certainly open to any and all suggestions.
Hey, so he's a good fellow. He's the organizer of this event, so he's a good person for any extra details to contact him within the Neverwinter Connections forums. He'll help you out.
Okay, so get out there and on to neverwinterconnections.com. Go check out the forums, and you'll learn all about the NWCon 4 that's coming up in September. And, of course, we'll have more updates as we get closer.
There's some other news going on lately. I don't know if you've seen this, Trey, but Atari is suing over a negative review and accusing the reviewer of piracy. Now,
okay. So Atari is suing someone else, right? Atari's not being sued.
No,
right?
They're suing somebody else.
Okay.
Now, I don't know if maybe Atari might have a legitimate, you know, argument here in the case, but they're a couple of UK reviewer websites reviewed the Alone in the Dark game and accused them of piracy. I know piracy and Atari has been kind of a talk lately because it's the only thing that's delaying our Mysteries of Westgate module, it seems to be.
And, right.
But, I mean, just kind of, it's really disappointing to report this because it just seems that Atari's taking it a little bit too far with this piracy stuff. There's two different reviewing websites, and they claim that they got a legit copy of the game from merchants over there, and I guess the merchants are not allowed to end up releasing some of the games off the shelves, you know, before a certain date, and I guess these reviewers ended up getting it before the release date from a legit store and a legit purchase.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, and so now they're scallywags.
What he means there is they're pirates.
Yeah, they're in piracy. But Atari ended up asking a couple of review sites if they would remove their information, and I wonder if we get it too, because they don't like reviews based on a game based on piracy, but all these two other, a Norwegian gaming site and another Scandinavian game site, they're not going to pull their reviews, they say.
Huh. Well, that's too bad. I hope the Atari and those guys work that out. I just hate to hear stuff like this. So what is Alone in the Dark about? What kind of game is that? I've never heard of it.
I believe it's based on the stories of H.P. Lovecraft. There's a couple of Neverwinter Nights communities that base some of their game worlds on H.P. Lovecraft.
So, Skunk, you heard a bit of news about Rob McGinnis today?
Oh, yes. He's been promoted to an extra position. He's still going to be the community manager for Neverwinter Nights 2, but he's also now going to be the assistant manager or assistant producer for the next expansion for Neverwinter Nights 2, Storms mm-hmm. is Here.
Right, yeah. Cool. Well, congratulations to Rob. That must be why we haven't heard from him in a while.
Yeah, he said he's going to be a little bit busy, but he's still on both positions within the community.
Seems like after he was on the show, you didn't hear him. Haven't heard much from him, although it is summer and he's probably taking some vacation and stuff too. So,
yeah, I believe he said he has a motorcycle. He was. I wouldn't blame him.
Okay, cool. Okay, so now let's get to our awesome interview that we had this week. I actually got to corner Barry and Throbblefoot a couple of Saturdays ago from the CEP team, the Community Expansion Pack. And I got to ask them a few questions, and so sit back and take a listen to what they have to say.
This is going to be good.
Hello, everyone. I'm Trey, a.k.a. Ashercon Zelo, and today we have with us Barry Ebersole, a.k.a. Barry 1066, who is a team member of the Community Expansion Pack and a Neverwinter Connections Grand Hall of Fame Dungeon Master. And we also have with Barry Throbblefoot, who is also a member of the CEP team. Welcome, both of you.
Thanks.
First off, why don't each of you introduce yourselves? I know, Barry, you've been on the show a couple of times already.
Ladies first.
Okay, so I'm Throbblefoot, as I've said. I've been playing Neverwinter Nights since it came out. The main thing that I do besides CEP team is that I help run and build and write Smithhold, which is a local vault mod. I've been on the CEP team since 2006, and mostly what I've been doing for them is project management. I've also done some blueprint work for the Cody stuff, the City of Doors Initiative stuff, after they broke up to get that stuff into the CP, and a couple small things like texture fixes. And I also wanted to say my husband, 420, wanted me to give you guys a shout-out and say, hey, he's sorry he couldn't be here.
Cool. So you're a player as well, right?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
So you've been playing since when?
Since the game came out.
Excellent, excellent. Okay, Barry?
I'm Barry 1066. What I do essentially in real life, I hold a PhD in medieval music performance, perform medieval music, teach. The in Neverwinter Nights, we have used some of our music on Anacoleum. So the CEP is a very important facet of building my world, and many other people use it for theirs. We see it as a very important asset, and we want to cultivate it, farm it, keep it healthy, weed it, do whatever we have to do to keep it to be healthy and grow.
What are some of the main things that you do for the CEP team, Barry, just personally?
Everything.
I do the work with the hacks, the work with the two DAs and changing them so that they're consistent, and work with whatever version that it's being built to match. Work with modeling a very little bit. I'm not much of a modeler, but I work with that. There are many models that you build for clothing, for instance, to work with the riding on the horses that don't involve actual modeling in the in a modeling program. It involves editing text files. But for instance, there were BV6 and myself made some over 30,000 new models for CEP 2.1 so that all the horses can use CEP clothing and armor.
Cool. I'm going to be wanting to get that for my horse. I was, just so everybody knows, I was on last night playing my Noble Star character on the Realms of Anacoleon. I had my horse with me, and Barry got on, and I was asking him some questions about how I can fight with my horse, which maybe we'll get into that a little bit later.
Horse is going to be a lot of fun.
Yep.
The horses are just phenomenal. They really are.
I know they're one of the hardest things to create from what I've heard, but they are pretty cool. For those who don't know, why don't you guys tell us exactly what the Community Expansion Pack is?
The Community Expansion Pack was conceived by someone that I don't even know. So I don't...
So y'all kind of taken up the reins from someone who started it a long time ago.
Oh, yes. There's been a number of turnover on the CEP team. And as such, we pick up a lot of... eclectic different bends pushes towards the content. But essentially, the concept was a collection of the best community content that the entire community could then have that instead of having a bunch of different hacks for every different server that duplicates all of that material and pile up huge amounts of hacks for these different things. But it also, it isn't just collecting the material, but it's fixing the material. You know, that a lot of the material comes with problems. And the CEP team fixes them as best as we can and continues to fix them. I think a lot of people don't realize how much the material's been altered and fixed to be working properly.
And I just like to want to. Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, go ahead.
I just wanted to point out the one of the main things is getting the hacks put together. Barry spends a lot of time making sure that the content doesn't, how would you say, conflict with each other. Uh-huh. Because, you know, when they're all coming from different hacks, people have chosen certain 2DA lines that don't necessarily work together, and we spend a lot of time testing that and fixing it.
It's been a real challenge for 1.69. I think there's more more material coming out in the 1.69 hack than there's been any other time and any other update from BioWare, and a lot of it has spilled over and conflicted with the CEP materials, which has been a real headache to try to get it juggled and to get it working. As far as we know, there's only one current conflict still in the version that we released for 2.1 and 1.69, and that will be cleared up shortly in an update.
So at what point did you guys, I'm kind of throwing this question in, at what point did you guys decide or realize that you needed a team called the Community Expansion Project or PAC that needed to bring all this together or start organizing it, I guess, or keep it organized?
Well, I didn't organize the group, so I have no idea who did all that. I was brought into the group by the Examiner 500.
Oh, okay, I see. I'm sorry. So someone, which we mentioned earlier that we don't know, started the team, and then now today this is the team that you have. Oh, okay. Sorry, I guess I misunderstood that.
So as a history of who did what when, I'm ignorant.
No one knows
of that. I don't know if there's anybody that's still on the team that goes back to the beginning. The only one that could possibly go know any of it would be Harley 59.
That's right. Okay. And I don't think she's on the. I don't think she's an original, sort of version one of the team member. But she's definitely our longest standing member right now.
Cool. So maybe somebody's listening will maybe have some more information for us and let us know. They usually do. Hey, speaking of the team, the current team, who all is on the team, and what are your roles, or their roles?
This one a shot, Barry?
No, go ahead.
All right. So the team members, and if I leave anyone out, please forgive me. Harley has been around for forever. She's very modest. Her role is mostly keeping us honest with what the CEP team has done in the past. Another longstanding member besides Barry is Shadow Weaver, who runs our forum and is the administrator for all of that. We also have Gina Sue. She's been on for a long time. Gina Sue is our public relations person. A recent addition to the team is Tom Banjo. Tom is a modeler. We also have Rosie Treats now, which I just can't tell people how excited I am to have Rosie Treats on the team. She's just going to add so much value. She's such a phenomenal talent. In addition, we have Feather. Feather did our docs for the last release. And a couple other people that I wanted to name are Bexet Zigana, who I haven't seen in a while. If you're out there, come and say hi. And BV6.
And on more or less on furlough is the Examiner 500.
There you go.
Now, who's 420?
420 is my husband. He is a scripter. By and large, that's what he's been doing for us. He also has done a ton of blueprint work, which is how I got involved in the City of Doors Initiative blueprint stuff for the CEP. He is currently working on fixing the quote-unquote mill body tailor, which is going to allow people to change the colors of their clothes, of their hair, of their tattoos, we hope, real-time in the game. He's an all-around swell guy, and he's probably one of the people with the shortest fuse.
What are some of the expanded content that 2.1 brings to the table? I know you recently just released 2.1 to the public. I know, actually, Barry, I got to actually get a, what would you call it, a pre-release of it?
Oh, yes.
A couple of days before y'all released it, because, of course, my horse shows up as a zebra, because I haven't, I just can't, I don't know. Everyone keeps telling me I need to roll back my graphics drivers, but
no, you don't. You shouldn't have to do that.
Well, after I put the new CP 2.1 that Barry gave me, my horses are no longer zebras. So
that's right. That's actually one of the fixes that I wanted to speak to. Texture fix, because that was something that was affecting me. It was a real God. I don't know how you say it politely. Real hardship for me in game. you know, when you're trying to role play your character and textures are weird and you don't know what's going on, sort of distracting. So a lot of people contributed to that. I just want to make sure that we get Hardpoint's name in there, because he did a ton of work for that.
Yeah, was that Hardpoint?
That's right.
Okay. Excellent. I know, although I have another question about that, because actually recently, I think last weekend, I was on the Anacolio Persistent World, and the big bunny guy showed up. I can't remember his name.
Right.
You know what I'm talking about, Barry?
Yeah, that's my son.
Yeah. And he was a zebra on
that's
my screen.
That's because those are Anacolia critters and not EP.
Okay.
Yeah, I haven't fixed them yet.
Okay. So am I missing some files that I need?
No, I have to fix those textures yet for Anacolia.
Okay, cool. So I thought, I saw that and I went, oh, crap, now I'm broke again.
I haven't had the time to fix those, considering I've been working on CEP so much.
Okay, sorry, I digress. So back to the expanded content 2.1. So you talked about the textures. Anything else? Well, actually, there's lots of stuff. So,
well, there's a lot of fixes to 2.0 that took place for 2.1. I mean, so many problems that we inherited from starting with 2.0.
I see.
So we've been fixing things that have been broken since 2.0. Lots of fixes. And I'm sure that we still are not done.
Right. I think that this would be a fantastic moment to tell people that if you find problems, please do report them. That's the only way we're going to be able to get everything fixed.
Well, I'm looking down here through the list that Barry sent me.
Well, people will have had problems with the jellies and the oozes ever since they were put in. And plus, they were broken in 2.0 for a number of different reasons. Actually, it was, and I'm not sure how to pronounce ACAOS, ACOS or something like that. Anyway, he's a DM and a scripter for Higher Ground. He has been really helpful to the DM team and offered some help that has gone into 2.1. But one of the things he did was to take a look at those puddings and jellies and found that they were missing textures that the original author had them set up to have textures but never supplied textures for them. So there were some 2DA fixes that needed to take place. There were additions of textures, and they now work not on just one type of video card, but they work on all the different video cards.
Cool.
And that's what we had a problem with, is they would only show up on this one brand of video card, and they wouldn't show up on another brand. And then when the 2DA fix was done, then they'd show up on the other brand of video card, and they'd stop showing up on the previous one that they did show up on.
I see here in the list Rosie Treats menus and materials from her CRAP.
Now, those are going to be really nice, because the palettes greatly expanded with new categories. And a lot of people said, well, we don't like all the CEP creatures cluttering up the palette. But here, there's areas specific that are empty just for a module to use, all set up with categories so they can be kept separate.
Okay, I've heard you mention the CRAP several times, Barry, and the fact that Rosie Treeks came over onto the team from that, and I think last time we were talking you said that that's now kind of defunct. What exactly was that compared to the CEP?
If
they are comparable, I'm not sure. So
I always get it wrong when I try to tell you what the an acronym stands for, but it's a creative role play project, basically.
Uh-huh. Okay.
They were attempting to put in scripts and other components, which include placeables and whatever, to help facilitate a pen and paper type experience gaming in Neverwinter Nights that includes a number of models for placeables that they made. Some of the new trolls that are in 2.1 come from them. The initial troll scripts that we have added to 2.1, they made, but they were not working very well, especially on a persistent world with multi-gamers. So we reworked those entirely. And we have true trolls that are as described in D&D, where you can only be killed with fire or acid.
Okay.
And they regenerate.
Oh, wow. Okay, so there's quite a long list here. I think what I'm going to do is I'm just going to list off the list here. And if I come across one that you have a passion for, just jump in and give some comments. You want to try that? We'll do that for about maybe 10 or 15 minutes.
Sure.
So I mentioned Rosie Treeks, the Unicorns Pegasus, it's a horse ambient and diffuse fix by Hardpoint.
Yeah, oh, Holt's hand up. That one's a great one because
you get
rideable unicorns in there.
Ooh, and flyable, yeah. Flyable Pegasus?
Well, unfortunately, I don't think that the Pegasus with the wings works with the riding. I don't
That's
know.
Right.
Okay. Oh, it doesn't.
It's got something to do with the wing nodes. That's all I know.
At least at the moment, no. But the rideable unicorns, wow. And the nightmare fixes that are added to that. Now that, now some people have said, oh, well, that's a bug. It's not a bug. It's intentional. The Hardpoint's, improvements to the, nightmares with the flat fiery, manes and so forth. Anyway, go ahead.
Forest Trolls, reworked by Dimu.
Yeah, those are actually from the CRAP. Yeah, okay. Those were done for CRAP.
Mm-hmm. Furry Heads, which is a hack by Martigan.
Right, but the heads that I did are, and I don't know how to pronounce that, Reunion, R-Y-U-U-J-I-N.
Rugen.
Region, okay. He's the author of those.
Okay.
Heads.
Oh, okay. Okay. Lisa's High Wizard, Kaladia and I.
Right, including the head. So you can actually take that head.
I'm going to butcher some of these names, which everybody's used to that, so.
I know I'll butcher them.
Dimilich, yeah, who was created by the Crit. I guess.
Yep.
Worms.
Actually, that's an update. That's actually it was in there previously, but it's an update, and it's a significant update.
Worms placeables.
Yeah, that one's really, really fantastic.
It's beautiful.
Which is a forest edition.
Yes, if you've seen his tile sets, particularly the seasonal tile set. Which I use on Anacolia, the trees are absolutely magnificent. And these are trees and some rocks that are straight out of some of his different tile sets. that you can place. Now, you can actually use them in the rural tile set and transform the rural tile set into really something that you didn't think it could ever be. So, yeah, that's a real significant addition. Cool. At least in my opinion, it is.
The next one sounds pretty cool. Darkness over Daggerford's Ossian Studios, 181 placeables.
Yeah, that's a lot. Yeah, that's a lot of material. Actually, Eximiner was working on that, but he got caught up in real life things, and so it got dumped in my lap. It took a while.
I'm sorry. The looks like the next three or four are more of Lisa's work, which I believe Lisa joined the all-girl gamer roundtable that Michelle did.
She did. I heard that going on.
Is that the same Lisa?
Yeah.
That's okay. The same one. Oh, so you got the eavesdrop on that, didn't you?
I did.
Okay, well, don't tell us anything about it. you just sat and listened?
It'll be worth hearing, yes.
Okay. You got me curious now. Anyway. I guess she's done a Mexican dress.
That's one of my favorites. That's one of my absolute favorites.
It's one of everyone's favorites. It really is. I mean, anytime you add more clothing, people freak out, so.
Cool. She took a third stab, I guess, at fancy shamanchi cloaks.
Right.
Wearable version of Kim Cyborg's Pharaoh.
Those cloaks, one of them that Lisa did is a spider web.
Uh-huh.
And they have a clear, if you apply the chrome color to one area, you know, if you're coloring it, you get a lacy, see-through spiderweb cape. And there's another one that's tattered cape, and it's the same deal. You have to add the chrome that you see through color, and then when you are in-game, you see the tattered effect.
Okay, next on the list I see here, the Amethyst Dragon's Cloaks.
I like those because they're not specific to a particular setting or world, but they're just nice cloaks. And there are some things that are really different. Instead of being long, you have a mantle with a hood.
Sounds like some cool stuff here.
Yeah.
Looks like Nervy created some a War Troll. Title War Troll? I'm not sure what that means, title.
They're armored. They're wearing armor.
Oh, okay.
And so they're not like these naked ones that are that are running around with the big noses. These guys are also in the 3.0 monster manual, and apparently they get the ability to stun.
Ooh. Looks like something else from Worm, an updated werewolf model.
Which overwrites the BioWare werewolf model.
Oh, yes. Really?
Yes, okay. It is.
It
has titles, glowing green eyes and a little bit nicer texture.
Title 6 Tapestries by Borden Hyelven. 4 Tapestries by Barry. A Social Pheno by Tom Banjo. And some placeable...
Essentially, with Tom Banjo's Social Pheno, that's a male human that holds a cup and drinks goes through a variety of behaviors for adding to a tavern so that people aren't just standing around static. And the cups, there's several different holdable cups for that character that have different styles. One of them has a little dragon on it and it's light, and they actually have the modeled appearance of liquid in it, and you can make them sit. Anyway, yeah.
Looks like he did some placeables and new heads as well.
And some fixes to models that were broken or had defects in the previous CEP releases.
Lands of Aphelia. Not sure what that means.
That was posted because we don't have.
I'm sorry.
We don't have the authors for the heads that were in the hacks. Not hacks, plural. The one hack for heads that this Land of Ophelia builder suggested we look at and use.
Sheeran Call?
Yes,
oh, Sheeran Call. I say this looks like an email you posted in here. Sorry.
No, yes, it is. So what we do is try to identify who authors are and always give credit.
Excellent. I think that's cool.
And if an author identifies their work in contacts, we'd definitely put on there who it's from. But after a concerted attempt to identify it and the source is removed from the original and we're not able to find and identify the original, then just identifying what the source is that it came from.
So it looks like some additional troll reskins from Trilantris. I'm sorry, go on.
No, those are nice. Okay. Those are pretty nice.
A few heads sent in by Ben Harrison. Custom holdable flags. Some new ones by Athena and Barry.
Mm-hmm.
Horse scripts. I guess, Barry, you did some horse scripts with the help of Diva B. Windblood.
He's the one that created the horse scripts for 1.69.
Okay.
And he's on
the merger from DLA Bioware.
Yes.
Their systems. Okay. Excellent. A new crafting system using the Mill Tailor and Body Tailor.
Right. The Mill Tailor is a system where you have a model, and you talk to the model, and the clothing is built on this model. You can actually change their race so that, let's say, it's currently set up as a human. When you meet it and you're halfling, you can change it to a halfling and then craft the clothing on it as a halfling, just to make sure everything works right. But
yeah, I've seen those on a couple of worlds that I've played on, actually.
And the body tailor works the same way. You come up, you talk to either the male or the female body tailor, and you change the head. You can add wings. You can change, add tail. You can change arm parts, hand parts. If it's got a body part, you can change it. And what 420 is working on is being able to change the skin, the hair, and the tattoo colors. And he's already added cape crafting to the Mill Tailor and being able to change the color of the cape. There's all kinds of things that are happening with improvements to the system.
One of the smaller improvements that I think is going to go a really long way is the ability to just skip heads. If anyone's used this system before, they know that you cycle through all the different body parts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when there are many, many, many of them, it's kind of a pain. One of the other problems is that, not to get too technical because I know this is kind of digging into the weeds, the system was made such that if it came to a blank line in the 2DA, it just showed you a blank line. Now the system works by skipping to the next populated line so that people can go from, you know, actually populated head to populated head without having to skip empty lines.
Well, we've actually created head 2DA because there is no head 2DA.
That's right.
So there's actually a head 2DA, and now there's a shield 2DA, so that then we can script those skips. And the other thing is, previously versions, the direct number, it has the ability to put in a direct number and go to that. Let's say you want head 46, and you put in head 46, and it's supposed to go to that, but it didn't work. It didn't work on the clothing tailor, didn't work on the body tailor. Well, 420 has fixed that, so now you want head 46, you put in 46, and it goes to that head.
Way to go, 420. I guess when I said I'd I'd seen that before. I've seen the Body Tailor before in a couple of worlds that I've played. I think I saw it on Galesburg, and I've seen it on Anacolia as well. Pretty cool stuff. Y'all mentioned that you can add tails and things like that. That just kind of gave me an idea. What am I trying to say? This is a body for tailoring clothes and changes and things like that. But, you know, what would be cool if you could create your own companions? Wouldn't that be cool?
Well, we use it to create NPCs.
Oh, okay.
So as a DM, we go in, take a...
Right, okay.
Take a basic type off the palette. I want a female cleric that is of such type or such high a level, and then go in and change the head. With the bones of transformation, I can change the race and clothe it the way I want. And then with a naming quill, I can change the name of it. And suddenly she's Mary the Witch or... Right. Brunhilde, the whatever.
But you have to be a DM to do that, right?
Yes, but the use of the body tailor for yourself...
players, have you ever maybe entertained the idea of... I know it sounds like this would probably be some work and probably have to create something new, but give players the ability to, say, go into a shop and build a companion that would then stay with them on the world.
We actually have something similar to that on our local vault server. It's not obviously linked into the body tailor, so you would have to do a lot of work to get that stuff going. But the actual script to make a companion is pretty relatively straightforward. I mean, I didn't do it, so it's easy for me to say that.
I know. We're talking about that, and it just kind of gave me some ideas. So, cool. Which world is that you can do that on?
It's called Smithhold, and we're in the social channel. Take us wrong. We want it to be the last homely home.
Okay, it looks like the last one listed here, I guess there's some pheno hacks.
What the pheno hacks are that have been added, that's all clothing models so that they can, so that the clothing will work with the horses.
Okay, and so that was
thousands, literally over 30,000. Models.
No way. That's a lot. Okay, so that's a long list of some excellent and cool stuff. As a team, what are some challenges that you've faced with either version 2 or 2.1, if any?
Well, Eximinar faced a lot of challenges with 2.0 because the change... I can't remember the detail. I think it was from 1.7 to 1.68, but it might have been... Well, I think that was the change. Anyway, there were changes in 2DA's extra columns that Bioware added. And so there was a lot of editing that he had to do. And it ended up... there were models that required... major changes to adapt to those new additions. Some of them didn't get done for whatever reasons. I mean, it's so hard to catch everything.
Right.
It's a huge work. Right. So with 2.1, he did a lot of fixes and had handed them to me, and then I did fixes. Other people did fixes. So to start with, 2.1 was going to be a release of 2.0 with fixes.
Okay.
But this was before 1.69 was even close. I mean, this is well over a year ago. Well over a year and a half ago.
Mm-hmm.
Then 1.69 was announced that it was seriously being worked on, and then it started coming out in beta. Well, once it came out in beta, we had to change gears. Plus, we were adding some new material here and there. Mm-hmm. And then we got more material, and then we got more material. So, the longer that 1.69 went on in beta, the longer we did development.
I was definitely going to say that one of our challenges is having patience with 1.69 coming out. I want 169.
So it sounds like your biggest challenges are keeping all the fixes organized and just staying on top of all the changes that come along.
Well,
as you're working through your version or whatever, right?
Right, and then we started making changes to be consistent with beta 1, beta 2, and then major changes come along, and we have to make huge adjustments again. And there were a lot of changes that required almost scrapping, going back to ground zero with the two DAs over and over. And then, of course, each time the possibility of bugs creeping in. Mm-hmm. I had cleaned up one set of two DAs, and then one community team member wanted some additions and suggested them, sent me a 2DA. I sent him the 2DA to work on. He sent me a 2DA back, ended up with a double line that I missed. So then I had to go in and take out that double line later. It just back and forth, little things in multiple hands.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like what most software development goes through. Myself being in IT for a long time, I know what you're talking about. It's kind of like trying to put wheels on a moving bus.
Exactly. Yes, it is. And that's just the 2DA work without consideration for broken models and a lot of things. For instance, just to give an example, we've listed 6 tapestries by an author. Well, actually, it ended up being 5 tapestries instead of 6 because one of them didn't work. And further off, those 5 overwrote all of the previous CEP tapestries. So what I ended up having to do is go in and remodel it from scratch. That's why I ended up adding my own tapestries anyway. Because because you know it's going in and having to almost start from scratch to make it work. So we have that person, although it says 6 tapestries, it's actually 5, and then my 4 on top of that, and then we had Tom Banjo add a couple tapestries on top of that. So there's a number of new tapestries that are really nice. And that author's work eventually ends up in the CEP working. Mm-hmm. And that's the end result. I mean, that's what we're after, getting that work. There were lots of different things. Some of the clothing it was set up for Hack Packs, the first expansion set and not the second, or it was set up for just Neverwinter Nights and before any expansion set or things like that. Some of the models were referencing wrong numbers for their skins. So you have to go in and you have to check it all. You have to change the numbers to match the skins and get it all set up within the structure of CEP so that it doesn't conflict with anything else. And the end result is people get to work with all this material that hopefully works well.
Okay, so that's some of the challenges. Throbble?
Yeah.
Were there any rewarding milestones or achievements that kind of stood out in your mind as y'all have been working through this over
the
years?
Wow.
I kind of threw that one in, sorry.
No, that's all right.
I just thought of it.
Rewarding or interesting milestones. I think the personal one for me was the first time that I was actually able to contribute a fix to the CEP. It was one of the texture fixes. I was able to take some of the work that Hardpoints had done through a couple of hours of just grinding, and as you said, that's all a lot of software work is, get them repackaged right so that they worked on my video card. And it was really cool for me because a lot of the stuff that I do is sort of project management stuff or blueprints, you know, stuff that it's not as creative. It's not a direct, like, fix to something. It was really great for me to do that as a personal milestone. And in terms of milestones for once for 2.1, I would say getting it posted.
There's a lot of things that we're seeing posted on the board that that people were running new video cards, and CEP was showing them white or the striped textures. And we knew that very ancient video cards would do that. But we didn't know what was going on. Well, NVIDIA apparently dropped a bit that processes the DDS textures alpha channel in a certain way after the 100 series drivers started up. And so it ends up that if you're going to update to the latest drivers, you end up with this big bug of this tiger-striped black and white textures on a number of creatures and things. It's not just CEP. It was also in Neverwinter Nights itself. Well, 1.69, the textures were being fixed, and we decided that we wanted to fix ours, and it took some research to find out exactly how to fix them.
Yeah, and at some point.
She worked on most of them. I think I've done just three troll textures myself, so she did all the others for CEP.
At some point, the drivers totally broke Neverwinter Nights 1. You know, you get the black screen.
Yes, workarounds for that too. But
yeah, I used the load a bogus module workaround. That's how I get in.
But hopefully that's all fixed now.
Is it? Okay. So, Throbble, if someone wants to help with the team, how do they contact you guys?
Well, the best way to do that, to get in contact with us, is to come up to our official forums. We should provide a link when we post this actual podcast, but I'm going to do my best to read this out for people. Our forum address is http://cepteam.dyndns.org/forums. And we'd love to hear from everybody.
Cool. So after you listen to this, get out there and give them some encouragement. I guess we can start wrapping this up. I want to, first of all, thank you guys for being on the show. What's coming up next? Anything that you can tell us for your team?
Well, 2.2.
Oh, we have many plans.
2.2 will have the CRAP materials in them, completely ready to go. People won't have to use the scripts. That'll be an option. But they will have all the placeables.
There's also the update to the mill and body tailors that 420 is working on.
So y'all have already started working on 2.2, I would assume.
Yep.
Hard at it. Okay, cool.
It won't take years like the last edition. We hope to have it out very soon.
Okay, excellent. Oh, so something that stood out here in the list. Hope to have brownies who can mount and ride skunks, badgers, chickens, and ferrets. Okay, that sounds funny.
Well, there are some community people that are working and have been successful, because I've seen video of the result.
Oh, yeah?
It's a Brazilian fellow.
Is that the Fantu mount system, I guess?
Fantu,
I guess, is how you say that?
Yes, okay. And if you go to that... His post on the vault, there's a video that you can see.
Okay. I'll have to go check that out.
They think he's riding a velociraptor.
Oh, really? Cool.
Yeah. There's tigers and bears and wolves and...
Oh, my.
Yes.
Sorry, I have an 8-year-old, so we read lots of stories. The reason that stood out is the brownies stood out because we're reading the Spiderwick Chronicles, and you know, there's brownies and Bogarts and things like that in that story. Anyway, I want to thank you, Throbble and Barry, for coming and being on the show this week. Any last thoughts or comments that you would like everyone to know before we close out?
Well, I'd like to take this opportunity to, you know, just encourage everybody in the community to keep on building. You know, there's more enthusiasm in the community now than I think there has ever been. I can't wait to see the stuff that Rosie Treats is working on, and in general, just, you know, the more stuff that we can do, the better worlds that we can build and play in.
Excellent. Thank you for being on the show, Throbble.
Thank you.
Barry, any last comments?
The CEP is really going to be supporting all of the persistent worlds out there with materials that they can draw on, and supporting all the people building single-player modules. And if somebody has a suggestion, we do listen. And so it would be good to give us some input.
Yeah, come up to the forums. Come up to the forums. We have a whole thread about suggestions. If you have a link that you can show us what you're talking about, or if you have an idea of something you'd like to have built, we'd like to hear either idea.
Rideable dragons.
Yes, we're working on that. Really?
Are you? Cool. Excellent.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, I'd like to thank you for being on the show, and I'd also like to extend an offer from the podcast team that if y'all need us to help you do anything, if you want to do any announcements in the future that you'd like us to put on the show, please let us know. We would love to do stuff like that. That's what we're here for. We're here for the community. As you know, our tagline is for the community, by the community. So if y'all at any time in the future want us to announce anything that you're working on that you want everybody to know about, we'd sure love to add that into our episodes.
Thanks a lot. That's good. A really nice offer.
And you can either, you know, create a file and send it to us and we'll put it in, or you can call into that NWN podcast Skype. We leave that up 24/7 and it actually has voicemail on it, and it will record your message and we use it in the show. So if you want to take advantage of that, please do. We're glad to help out in that area.
We'll definitely talk about that in our next meeting.
Well, thank you for interviewing us.
Yeah, thanks for having us. That was fun.
All right, y'all take care.
All right.
You too.
Nice meeting you. Talk to you later, Barry.
Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
And we're back. Awesome interview there.
Yes, it was. They did a good job. They have a good team going on over there. Hey, it's time to do our drawing for the May T-shirt giveaway. Yeah! Are you ready, Skunk?
No, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. You blocked me from the website for him, not to see know anything.
Well, I was trying to make it a surprise. What I did is I gathered everyone's names that had posted a comment in our May episodes, and I put them all in a thread, and I numbered them 1 to 63. So that's why I didn't want you to look at it, because here in a second, I'm going to have you pick a number between 1 and 63, and I'm going to flip over there, and whoever that number is, they're the winner. So kind of like drawing out of a hat, but drawing out of a forum thread.
And drawing out of a skunk, because I don't know anything about these.
Well, a couple episodes ago, I came up with the idea that during the summer months, we don't get very many commenters, although the last episode we got quite a few. And so I thought of a way to get a little bit more comments and people coming in and leaving feedback on the shows was to have a contest that involved the comments. So we have new T-shirts available out on Cafe Press, and we're going to give one of those away.
Yeah! All right, so I pick a number between 1 and what? 63.
Now, okay, let me tell a little bit more about this. You have to be present to win. What does that mean? So to speak. When I draw your name and you hear it in this podcast, you have to email us at show@neverwinternightspodcast.com. If you don't contact us, in other words, you don't hear it within the show, no T-shirt.
That means that I get it.
Yeah. Skunk gets it. Actually, right. I haven't gotten one yet. I think when I order this for the contest, when everyone can order me one too.
I'm still waiting on my Neverwinter Connections T-shirt. They used to give them a while out to whoever won awards, but
oh, you never got one?
No, I think probably when the polar ice caps melt, I'll get one.
All right. So now it's going to choose a number between 1 and 63. 1 and 63. Are you rolling dice?
1 and 63. Maybe I should grab some of my dice. But there's not a 63 dice. So, okay. I want to pick.
You don't have a 63-sided dice?
No, there's not a 6. There's no 63-sided dice.
I know. I was joking.
Lucky 13.
13. And the winner is Ernie Noah.
Yay! That's Ernie.
Okay, so Ernie, if you're listening, which I'm pretty sure you listen to every episode, at least you sent a comment on it, every one of them, send us an email or you can leave a comment, however you want to do it, and let us know that you heard that you're the winner, and we'll send you a t-shirt. I'm sure he's going to be thrilled.
Unless he's really superstitious about the number 13. Congrats, Ernie.
I think that's all we have for this week, Skunk.
I believe so.
So, thanks for listening, and be sure to join us next week when we will be having nothing. We're going to take next week off because it's 4th of July, Independence Day here in the U.S., so you'll have to go a week without the podcast. I know. But you can make it.
We could probably maybe arrange a karaoke party with Dave.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, until next week.
Get in game.
And level up.
You can always reach us via our website at neverwinternightspodcast.com or by email at show@neverwinternightspodcast.com. You can also leave an audio comment or listener hello by calling us on Skype. Just call NWN Podcast, all one word. The opinions and viewpoints expressed on the Neverwinter Nights podcast are not necessarily those of its sponsors or those of Obsidian, BioWare, Atari, their partners, or employees. The Neverwinter Nights podcast is a production of These Old Geeks, who is solely responsible for its content.
For now, I say we crack some of those kegs and drown the flagon in wine.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast is copyright 2008.
Ready?
Yeah, I just need to think of a new skunk nickname. have a good one for every show.
Is that how it's going to work?
Yeah.
How about the skunkster this time? Skunkinator?
How about... Oh, this is Skunkine, a.k.a. 100% Hardcore Flex Sizzling Nitro Warriors section. No? Okay, Skunkine, a.k.a. No, I'll do Skunkaroni. Testing, 1, 2, 3. Can you and everybody hear me? Okay. Radio checka, microphone checka. Testing, 1, 2, 3. Can everybody in the house hear me? You know how serious I am about being.
Oh, sorry. Excuse me. Please don't hurt me, Mr. Skunk.
Roll a d20. All right.
Trey rolls. Let's see. Rolls for getting beat up. I'm sorry, I can't find the... Where's the thread? Where did I put that stupid thread?
See, he hid it so well.
Dadgummit, where did I put that? Oh, I'll put it in the show notes. Show notes.
Yeah, big words that say, skunk, do not read this.
What did you think when you first saw that?
I didn't know what it was. Like, you don't trust me? Or
no, that wasn't it. Okay, I've got it up. You ready? You have your number?